Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Studios here on a Monday, Bracket Monday, as the brackets dropped yesterday. Tennessee's a 2 seed, which Joe wrote a column about. I'm sure it was great. So I'm going to tell you right now, I watched the selection show last night, and when I saw them going through the teams, I used to be a basketball Benny. I used to be on the radio in Louisville where it was college basketball 24/7. I haven't seen 95% of the teams in this tournament. I haven't seen them play. And so I can't sit here and give you this breakdown of, you know, I think that this 4th seed got shafted, and I think that this 6th seed got worked or whatever it may be. But I don't need that to know this. Kentucky is a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament, and their draw to the Elite Eight is easy. It's easy. They got to go through Marquette, who played in the Big East and is one of 3 Big East teams that got in there, and all these other Big East teams, the committee said they weren't even a very good conference. They put 3 teams in there. That's the 2 seed to get to the Elite Eight. And they have to beat the winner of NC State and Texas Tech in order to get to the second weekend. And NC State was going to fire their coach before they ran the table in the ACC tournament, and they ended up winning it. They're not very good. And Texas Tech is a 6 seed. And again, they might be pretty good. You know, this Google says that they have 6 quad 1 wins. Which I'm sure is great. But again, we're talking about Kentucky. And I went to the Kentucky-Texas A&M game on Friday night. It was packed, as it always is, when UK plays in the SEC tournament at Bridgestone Arena. It was loud. The Go Big Blue chants. I mean, it really is Rupp South. And for the 2nd year in a row, on Friday night, in Rupp South, Kentucky gets embarrassed and bounced from the building. They gave up 97 points to A&M on Friday night. Apparently, A&M scored 95 the first time they played Kentucky. That's the only 2 times they scored 90 points the entire season. The point I'm trying to make is this. The University of Kentucky has to have standards as a blue blood school. They are the best of the best. I went to the arch rival of Kentucky, and I will concede that they are a better basketball program, top to bottom, than ours is. We at Louisville, we're a number 2 tier type basketball program, with Michigan State and Villanova and some of these, again, good schools, win national championship schools, but we're not Carolina, Duke, or Kentucky, or Kansas. Those are the top 4. Do you know that Kentucky has not been to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament since 2019? This entire decade. And I know the 2020 season, we didn't have a tournament because of COVID. But in this decade, Kentucky has not played on the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. That is a travesty for what the standard of Kentucky hoops is. So I think John Calipari should be coaching for his job this weekend. I think it should be binary. If Kentucky cannot get to the second weekend for the, 4th season in a row, he should be fired. If you can't win SEC tournament games and you can't win NCAA tournament games, you should be fired. This is Kentucky. Again, you can tell me, well, Kansas is a 4 seed, and they're not so good, and they won the national title 2 years ago. North Carolina and Hubert Davis didn't make the tournament last year, but they were in the championship game the year before, and they're a 1 seed this year. Duke was in the Final Four 2 years ago, Coach K's last season. John Shire got beat in the 2nd round by Tennessee, and I'll tell you right now, if Duke doesn't get to the second weekend, there's going to be some Duke people that are unhappy with John Shire, because that's what the standard at those schools are. That's why Ryan Day at Ohio State is hated by his fans, because even though they win every other Big Ten game 100-0, they can't beat Michigan. And at Ohio State, the standard is different than the standard at Vanderbilt. Okay? This is Kentucky. And again, I have no idea about any of these schools, you know, Longwood and whomever. I have no idea. But Kentucky should beat the whoevers. Kentucky, I know St. Peter's had a nice run a couple years ago after they knocked off Kentucky in the first round of that 2-15 game. But they ended up playing Carolina in the Elite Eight and they lost. Why? Because Carolina doesn't lose to those schools, or at least they shouldn't. So I know Kentucky gave John Calipari the stupidest contract 5 years ago. It was dubbed the lifetime contract. And again, I have always told you, those kind of contracts are stupid. They had no need to give Cal that kind of contract because UCLA, even if they had made an offer to Cal, their offer ended up being for less money than Kentucky was already paying him. So they gave Cal this unbelievably stupid contract, and Cal has repaid them by not making it to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament since. It would cost them $30 million to fire John Calipari. And I think they should do it if they don't win. And I'll tell you why. Because, again, I heard Matt Jones of Kentucky Sports Radio say this when they lost to Kansas State last year. And he said, some caller called in and was like, well, you know, all these other programs would be very, very happy to be able to do what we're doing. And Matt Jones said, I mean, that's great. But that's not what Kentucky's about. The second we start accepting what other programs would be, we're not that anymore. And he's right. So the second that you say to yourself, yeah, Cal's not meeting the standards that we have in order to be successful, but we'd owe him too much money, so we're not going to fire him, that's the second that you're not the best of the best anymore. Because I promise you that it's not going to be money that keeps Ohio State from firing Ryan Day. It's not going to be money. If Sharon Moore doesn't work out at Michigan, it's not going to be money that keeps them from firing that guy. LSU considers itself a top job in all of these sports, especially football. It's not going to be money that keeps them from firing these coaches. They'll do it. They don't care. So you can't give me the money excuse. And you can't give me the who could do better. I don't know. Any coach who can get to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament with every added advantage that Kentucky has. So I don't think they'll do this. Because I think they're too scared of what life without Cal would be like. But if they don't get to the second weekend, given the draw they've got, they need to fire Calipari. Because, again, the standards of Kentucky basketball should be significantly higher than, well, we had a good game at the end of the year against Tennessee. I don't even know how many SEC tournaments Kentucky has won. I can promise you this. I've seen the ticket prices on the secondary market when they play here at Bridgestone. I have seen that building the last 2 years and what it's looked like for that Friday night Kentucky game. And I can promise you those fans are taking that game seriously. And whatever happens in November, December, January, February, nobody cares. In this sport, all they care about is what happens this month. So I believe this weekend, John Calipari should be coaching for his job. And he needs to win both games. And I don't give a rat's ass if he plays Texas Tech, a 6 seed, or NC State, an 11 seed, that shouldn't have made the tournament and only did because they ran the table in a weak ACC. Sorry. If you're still Kentucky basketball, if you're still the standard, you'll hold Cal accountable to those standards. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. If you got a thought on college basketball, get it in. By the way, I couldn't believe Kentucky couldn't play defense Friday night. And one coach, who I had a run-in with last year over Calipari, he's all in on defending Cal. You guys tell me if you buy this bull crap. We'll do that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Bill Self's a four seed. They get run in their conference tournament. Mm-hmm. No one says anything. Tony Bennett doesn't call a timeout at the end of the NC State game. No one says anything. Rick Barnes gets run in their conference tournament. Kelvin Sampson gets run in their tournament. So no one says anything. John Calipari gets beat, and the world is coming to an end. They people treat John Calipari and Kentucky differently than they treat anyone else. You know what I just
said? I knew this. Oh, here it comes.
I just poked the bear.
One and done.
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Shannon, hold on for a second.
Oh, boy. I knew I'd poke the bear on that one.
John Calipari and I go back to his days at UMass when I was covering Temple, for crying out loud. I love the man. But as much notoriety as he gets.
Such a victim.
As much victories as he's had during the regular season and stuff like that. The man has won national championship.
Yeah, he's underachieved, coach.
Underachieved.
He's a victim. He has. Definitely.
You got number one Carl Anthony Towns. You got number one Anthony Davis. You got number one John Wall.
Yeah. Well, you got Boogie Cousins.
You got Devin Booker. You got one title?
You won a title with Anthony Davis.
Coach Greenberg, are you saying John Calipari, with the level of talent and the number one overall draft pick and the top 15 players that he's had come through in the last 10 years has not underachieved?
Here's where I disagree, because the culture of college basketball has changed. Last 4 years, I'm going to take the last 4 years. How many freshmen have impact in the Final Four?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. College basketball is called get old, stay old. Yeah. All right, retain players, go into the portal, get older guys up.
There you go, Seth Greenberg today on First Take. Ian, you remember me and Seth Greenberg got into it last year over Calipari.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, I got in trouble for that, too, by the way.
Oh, boy.
I got a talking to after Seth Greenberg came on my Sirius show last year, and I was like, do you think they should fire Cal? And he was like, I'm not going to be some hot take guy. Nobody's taking it more seriously than Calipari. You should be ashamed of yourself, or whatever Seth Greenberg said. And I mean, I wouldn't say I got in trouble, but I got a talking to, you know, after that. And so there is Seth Greenberg this morning, just wants to go out on TV and say, ho, 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 nobody's mad at Rick Barnes for what happened on Friday. Yes, and Rick Barnes doesn't coach at Kentucky. And Calipari makes double the amount of money that Rick Barnes makes. Like, the whole point of Rick Barnes is that it's great that Rick Barnes does what he does at a football school. Because if he was at a basketball school, they'd get mad with the fact that they never win in the NCAA tournament. So if Calipari wants to go coach at Michigan, who has an opening right now, he can do that. And they'll be happy with the occasional Sweet 16s and things like that. But that's not the standard at Kentucky. So I don't know about you guys, but Shannon Sharp and Stephen A., they were not buying Coach Greenberg's bullcrap right there, and I'm not either. And I'm just going to say this. When Tubby Smith was the coach of Kentucky, Tubby made it to the Elite Eight 2 years before he got fired, and it was time for Tubby to go. But Tubby still, I mean, again, Elite Eight. Cal hadn't been to the Elite Eight since 2019. What's the difference between Cal and Tubby? Tubby won a national title. Cal's won a national title. Joe B. Hall, the late, great Joe B. Hall. And if you knew Joe B. Hall, you'd love that man as much as I do. Joe B. Hall was in the Final Four the year before his last year at Kentucky. He made the Sweet 16 his last year at Kentucky. And he won one title. So I don't want to hear all of this when it comes to Cal, like, oh, no, it's not fair. It's not. Oh, college basketball's changed. That's what old buddy Seth Greenberg told us. So in the new college basketball, Kentucky's not supposed to be good. I went to the game Friday. They have good players. That Reed Shepherd is the truth. But again, the knock on Calipari has never been that he can't get players. The knock on Calipari is he can't win with players. And I don't see why that should be acceptable. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025. Phil in Franklin says, Jared, just stop talking now. Cal should not be on the hot seat until he can't recruit. Winning is important, and there have been some disappointing years, but he's still the best for the job unless you can go get Hurley from Connecticut. First of all, I'm sorry. I've been to Rupp Arena many times in my life. I have never once seen a banner for a recruiting championship. Those are the banners that Butch Jones wins. Recruiting championship banners. Cal's always been able to recruit. Kentucky's always been able to recruit. This idea of he's the best guy for the job, I tell you right now, you mean to tell me that Dusty May, who took FAU to the Final Four last year, again, Cal hasn't been past the first weekend since 2019. You mean to tell me that if you gave Dusty May this roster at Kentucky, that you don't think Dusty May could get to the second weekend? Because I just gave you a guy. That's the thing people love. Who's better, Jared? Dusty May's better. He brought up Hurley at Connecticut. I mean, money should not be a factor, right? This is the SEC. It just means more. And it just means more to the SEC in football for every single one of those schools except for Kentucky. At Kentucky, basketball means more. So you mean to tell me, if Hurley was the coach at, let's say this were football, and again, Kentucky views themselves as a Ohio State, Alabama, USC, Michigan of college basketball with Duke and Carolina and Kansas. So let's say that Danny Hurley at Connecticut was the football coach at Oregon. That sounds about right, right? Comparable? Connecticut's basketball program to Oregon's football program?
Pretty close.
We'll take it. I mean, that school should be able to get that guy. Alabama just hired their coach. They got the guy from Washington who was in the national championship game last year. They got him because they're Alabama. And so if you're Kentucky, you should be able to get Danny Hurley. You should be able to get Dusty May. You should be able to get all those top coaches. Scott Drew at Baylor. You should be able to pay every single one of those guys more money than wherever it is paying them, and you should be able to pay Callis $30 million. The idea of he's saying, we're not winning, but he's recruiting. That you recruit so you can win. This is not about winning a recruiting title. One texter says, Kentucky's athletic director does not have the stones to put pressure on Cal. So Mitch Barnhart and Cal hate each other. It is like the worst kept secret in all of college sports, even though Mitch Barnhart hired Calipari. They hate each other. They don't speak to each other reportedly. And remember, there was that whole brouhaha when Cal was mad that he wasn't getting a practice facility built. And he was like, we're a basketball school. And then Stoops got all mad about it. And Barnhart got all mad and had a press conference and was basically like, I'll fight for my coaches, I'll walk with my coaches, but if you want to go do something else, you can go somewhere else. Let me say this. I know Mitch Barnhart. I have the utmost respect for Mitch Barnhart. I really do. I do think there's something to what the texter said. That Barnhart doesn't have the stones to fire Calipari. I think there may be some truth to that. And again, this is as somebody in me who truly thinks the world of Barnhart as an athletic director. I don't think he's the best athletic director, but I think he's a good athletic director, and I think he's a really good man. But I agree with the sentiment that I'm not sure that he's got the cojones to fire Cal, even though if I went up to you, I always tell people this when somebody gets fired. We fired Kenny Payne at Louisville, the worst basketball coach in the history of basketball. And last week, Kenny Payne was blaming the fans and the university and everybody but himself, which was a recurring theme in his tenure as coach. But I said to somebody last week, I go, Kenny Payne can say whatever he wants, but if the day he got hired, we sat down in a room and I said, okay, you're going to win 12 games over the next 2 years, he would say, well, I'm getting fired. Because you know what the deal is. Well, if we sat down with Cal when he took the Kentucky job and we said, hey, it's going to be 5 years between Sweet 16 berths, Cal would say, that's not going to be good for me. Because you know that that's not the standard at Kentucky. Or at least I don't think it's the standard. More of your phones on this at 615-737-1025. Again, that's our phone number, 615-737-1025. Plus, I do have a little thought on the Vols and they're 2 seed. They didn't get a 1 seed, but they're 2 seed. What Rick Barnes had to say about that, we'll do that next. And then we're right back to the phone. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
How do you feel like, or what's kind of been the message to the team since the loss, and how do you feel like they bounced back?
Well, again, I've told them a lot of stories. I've got a lot of stories I can tell, but you look at college basketball this weekend, teams that won the regular season. I don't know. I think only Connecticut won it in their postseason tournament. And you go through it. I go back the year we went to the Final Four. We lost in the first round of the Big 12 tournament to Coach Knight and Texas Tech. And I remember him grabbing me and said, "Hey, man, this is good for you." He said, "Now go win you a national championship." We got there. We didn't win it. But again, I could keep going stories after stories. But it's college basketball. And we are where we are right now. I think we know who we are, what we need to do. And it's a whole new season. And it's the postseason, but it's a new season for 68 teams that all of them are playing for a chance to win a national championship and play on Monday.
There you go. There you go. That was Rick Barnes. And he's sitting there talking about, hey, you know, when we went to the Final Four in 2003, Coach Knight came up to me and he said, "Y'all needed that." And who said that they needed that butt kicking that they got on Friday at the hands of Mississippi State? I did. I think Tennessee's got a nice draw. I don't think Texas, who they'd play in the second round, is very good. The only reason I don't think that is because Louisville almost beat them, and Louisville's terrible. And so Rodney Terry was a nice story last year as the head coach of Texas. I'm not sure that he's going to win to the Texas standard and that he'll be there very long. And he is a former Rick Barnes assistant. But I cannot promise you, Tennessee fans, that losing against Mississippi State is going to be the magic elixir that allows Tennessee to get into the second weekend and really get, I mean, Tennessee needs to get to the Elite Eight, and they need to play Purdue. And Purdue is good. Now, I watched Purdue lose on Saturday to Wisconsin. They're certainly not unbeatable. And Matt Painter, just like Rick Barnes, has kind of the same history in the month of March. But I do think that loss was a good thing. Because no matter what the Vols could have thought of themselves, after winning at Kentucky, winning at Alabama, winning at South Carolina, they certainly cannot feel that way about themselves after getting embarrassed Friday at Bridgestone Arena. And so I have to agree with what Coach Knight said in 2003. That might have been good for you. And I will say it to Rick Barnes. I think that might have been good for you. By the way, a friend of mine, she wanted to take her husband, who's an Auburn fan, she wanted to take him to the championship game on Sunday, and she texted me on Saturday, and she said, "Are these ticket prices real?" and showed me the secondary market for the SEC championship game tickets, and they were like $17, $30 in the lower bowl. She's like, "Are these real?" I was like, yeah, Tennessee and Kentucky got beat, and their fans buy up all the tickets, and so when they lost, their fans are heading out of town. And rough weekend for the Days Inns around town, you know, with Tennessee and Kentucky losing on the first night of the SEC tournament. Matt in Camden says, if Kentucky did fire Calipari, where would he go? I think it would be hilarious, Matt says, if Louisville hired him. Look, man, I wouldn't rule it out. I don't think we'd do it. I think we're pretty happy with the candidates that we'll be interviewing and who we are kind of circling. But I do think that if Cal was on the market, we'd have to discuss it. But again, Cal's not living up to the standard at Kentucky. If Cal were doing what he's doing at Kentucky, if he were doing that at Memphis, he'd be fine. But he's not at Memphis. He's at Kentucky. Richard from Murfreesboro says, Calipari is only good for one thing, and that was picking a fight with John Chaney back in the day. He can't recruit, and he can't coach. Cal absolutely can recruit.
They always have great players. That's the weird thing.
Yeah, this idea that, like, oh, Calipari can't. See, this is the thing that bothers me about people, you know, going to the text line and, you know, oh, let me fire this text off. Ha, 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 ha. Right? Like, I said Cal can't recruit. Ha, ha. It's like, I mean, Cal absolutely can recruit. Kentucky has good players now. That game Friday was the first time that I saw Reed Sheppard play that true freshman. He's Jeff Shepard's kid. Jeff Shepard was a star, I think, under Pitino.
He's like over 50% from three this year.
I watched Reed Shepard play for the first time. Now, he didn't shoot the ball in the second half, but I did watch him in that first half. I'm like, this kid is the truth. Like, he is awesome, and he was awesome in that game against Tennessee a week ago Saturday when they went up into Thompson Bowling and they beat the Vols. So don't tell me Cal can't recruit. Now, I'll agree, I don't think Cal's a very good game coach, and I think that we've seen that time after time. Josh says, hey, Jared, you could easily take an old coach like Rick Byrd with this Kentucky squad and make the Final Four easily, Josh says. Look, I'm a Rick Byrd fan. I'm a Casey Alexander fan. I was talking with somebody this week at the SEC tournament, and we were talking about potential coaches for Vanderbilt, and I have no idea what direction Vanderbilt's going to go. You know, Chris Mack is apparently a hot name that everybody's talking about. I firsthand experienced the Chris Mack experience. I will say this. Chris Mack is not made for a big basketball school. Like, that job at Louisville was too big for him. Now, everybody I've talked to at Louisville says that Chris Mack would be a good fit at Vanderbilt. Now, I'll just say this, and people are going to get mad about it, but it's the reality of where we're living, which is Chris Mack, you know, during COVID and everything else, I mean, he was going after reporters about mask wearing, and, like, that's not going to fly at Vanderbilt. So I'd keep that in mind. I think Vanderbilt should hire Josh Schertz, the head coach at Indiana State. I think there was a really good chance that had Indiana State made the NCAA tournament and they lost their conference championship by a couple of points, that if they had done that, I think there's a chance that he'd be the Louisville coach. But I don't know if Louisville can hire a coach who's never made it to the NCAA tournament. I think Vanderbilt can hire Josh Schertz. And everything I've heard about Josh Schertz is that this guy is a slam dunk coach. Just getting off topic a little bit. One texter says, I will riot if Vanderbilt hires Chris Mack as a Vandy fan. I mean, again, there are people who have told me at Louisville that they think Chris Mack would be a good fit for Vandy. I can't tell you if he would or he wouldn't. I was very turned off by Mack as a fan. As a Louisville fan, I thought Chris Mack, and this is, I've never talked to Chris Mack, so this is just outside looking in. I thought Chris Mack was a total a-hole, and I thought Chris Mack was a total know-it-all, and I thought Chris Mack truly didn't understand the job. And I don't know how you can't understand some of these jobs. I do not understand how these guys can win at, you know, Florida Atlantic like Dusty May, realize that if you're going to get the Indiana job, that it's different being the coach at Indiana than it is at Florida Atlantic. But for some reason, some of these guys, Chris Mack thought he was going to coach the way he coached at Xavier at Louisville. And it's like, dude, that's like you go from being the coach at Xavier in a pro sports town where they have the NFL, Major League Baseball. There's another college right there in the same city. You go from that, the attention and the requirement of that, to being an NFL head coach when you take one of these blue blood college basketball jobs. And he wasn't ready for that. Now, he won't have to deal with that at Vanderbilt. So, you know, maybe he'll be a good fit. Chris in Nashville says, why does Cal beg for calls the entire game? You're Kentucky. I mean, I will say this. I went to that game on Friday, and I did think the whistle was a little anti-Kentucky. Not as anti-Kentucky as Kentucky fans on Twitter were claiming it was after the game, basically saying they got cheated, but I did think the whistle was anti-Kentucky, and Cal's a coach, and all of these coaches are going to get up there, and they're going to fight, you know, for calls one way or another. One texter says, Alex, I guess is a Vanderbilt fan, says hell no to Chris Mack. He's a two-faced politician, and he broke his promise to clean up Louisville. I mean, he did bring another extortion scandal to the university. I got to tell you, again, the people that I know at Louisville that know Chris Mack, that worked with Chris Mack, that on some levels managed Chris Mack a little bit, they think he'd be a good fit at Vanderbilt. They know better than I do. They have the experience. If it were me, I wouldn't even be interviewing Chris Mack. Like, if I ran Vanderbilt, I wouldn't even waste my time interviewing Chris Mack. because I just am not, I'm not a fan. I'm just not a believer. Dylan in Antioch says, what do you think about Rick Ensel at MTSU? And then says, do women's coaches ever transfer over to the men's game? The answer to that is no. And as far as Rick Ensel is concerned, great season for them at MTSU. They're going to lose on Friday. You know why they're going to lose on Friday in Baton Rouge, Ian?
Why is that?
Because they're playing Louisville. Now, we're good in the tournament. We've been to like five straight Elite Eights. We're not going to go to the Elite Eight this year, but we're good. So I'd have a problem with that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So there was a massive trade in the NFL that was actually really a tiny trade, but it was a massive TV trade. In reality, it was a very small trade, but on TV, it was a big trade. We'll do that next. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. That's right. I love Hiller. They are proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. And, of course, Hiller's been taking care of my home for years. And this month is Happy's Golden Ticket Sweepstakes at Hiller. Enter to win at hillergoldenticket.com. All you have to do is enter your email, and you're automatically entered to win. Prizes include a $5,000 Hiller gift card, a $1,000 Hiller gift card, or one of 10 Happy Hiller Club memberships. And I am a member of the Happy Hiller Club, so let me tell you, you'll love it. Take advantage of zero interest financing for 12 months on select new HVAC systems, tankless water heaters, and whole home generators. Do not miss out. Enter to win now at hillergoldenticket.com.
How'd that deal come together? Because it's being reported that there was other teams that were interested in Justin Fields, but Mulugeta and Justin Fields wanted to go to Pittsburgh. Was there better offers? Was this the market? Kind of how'd that Justin Fields-Pittsburgh thing come together in your eyes, Shefty?
Listen, here's what I would say about that. Basically, there were teams at various points that might have had some interest in Justin Fields. But if the Bears had a better offer, a strong offer, for Justin Fields, I think they would have acted upon that. This, yes, he did want to go to Pittsburgh. That was his preference. But the fact of the matter also is that they unloaded him for a sixth-round pick in 2025 that could go up to a fourth-round pick. And he wanted to go there, and they accommodated him in the end. But if there was a team out there that was offering the Sam Darnold package, a 2-4-6, I think they would have done that. They just didn't have it.
There you go. That was Shefty on the Justin Fields trade. Now, I was on Sirius XM on Saturday, and, you know, I think they kind of wanted us to talk a little college basketball, but I was like, if you want to, you know, if you're looking for college basketball, you probably would just be watching or listening to the games, right? So I was like, we're going to talk football. And I started off on Sirius talking about, like, Russell Wilson, really? Like, that's what you're going to do if you're Mike Tomlin? And then all of a sudden, news broke midway through the show that Justin Fields was going to the Steelers for a bag of footballs. And at that point, I was like, cancel everything else. And we spent 2 hours talking about Fields to Pittsburgh. And I took about 1,000 calls. And over those 1,000 calls from all angles of the country, it felt like nobody truly understood reality, which is while Justin Fields has a big TV name and this is a big TV trade, while all that's going on, he is nothing more than a marginal NFL player at this point. That's what the league thinks. Because guys that aren't good go for a bag of footballs. And that's what Justin Fields went for. A bag of footballs. Literally. A sixth round pick in next year's draft? Not even this year's draft. Chicago gave him away. And then what was crazy was it all came out as soon as they made the trade that, oh, no. Russell Wilson is the starting quarterback. Guys, the Steelers acquired Justin Fields to be their backup. People would call in and say, oh, this is a big developmental move. Tomlin knows what he's doing. He's going to sit Fields on the bench behind Russell Wilson, and they're going to have a reset, and he's going to develop Fields, and this is going to be the worst decision Chicago ever made. I'm like, if there was a master plan like that for the Steelers, then they would have given up more than a sixth-round pick. I promise you, this discussion between the Bears and the Steelers has probably been going on for a month. The Steelers probably started off asking for a third in this year's draft. And finally, they realized there was no market for Fields. Once Atlanta went with Cousins, once Minnesota made it obvious they were going to bridge with Sam Darnold, once New England made it obvious they're taking a quarterback, it's like, okay, where can we deal Justin Fields to? And Pittsburgh, because they had dealt Kenny Pickett, because reportedly Tomlin didn't like the way that Kenny Pickett reacted to him telling him that Russell Wilson was coming in. I guess that's what allowed him to make the move. But the NFL is telling you they don't think Justin Fields is any good. Just like they're telling you that the league doesn't think Mac Jones is very good when he went to Jacksonville for a sixth-round pick. And to the point about this grand plot of Mike Tomlin's to develop Justin Fields, to fix what the Chicago Bears ruined, and then unleash him, you do know they're going to decline that fifth-year option. So even if they do develop Justin Fields, he's going to be a free agent. So I don't see – the Steelers aren't thinking like that. The Steelers are thinking Russell Wilson is our starting quarterback and Justin Fields is going to be our backup quarterback. And I'm like, I mean, talk about the difference between what TV thinks of somebody and what the entire league thinks of him. I mean, Carson Wentz, when he got traded from the Eagles to the Colts, Carson Wentz was wanted by one team and wanted to go to one team. And that team still had to give up a first-round draft choice for him. You heard Shefty in that cut talk about what Sam Darnold went for when the Jets knew they were going to draft Zach Wilson, and it was still 2-4-2 or 2-4-4 or whatever it was. Wentz, even after that disastrous year in Indianapolis where they fired him, I think he still went for like a second and a third round pick. And Fields can't even go for that. The league is telling you that Fields stinks. And yet people just don't want to believe that. They do not want to believe that Justin Fields, who has never been good in the NFL, isn't good in the NFL. And if you can't think that, I can't help you. 615-737-1025 is our phone number on that. And I do wonder, you know, now that all the jobs and all the backup jobs are starting to kind of dry up, where's Tannehill going to go? I mean, if it were me, and I was running the Steelers, and I had the choice between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields or Tannehill and, say, Justin Fields, I would go with Tannehill. Now, the problem is that Russell Wilson's going to make $1.2 million, and Tannehill, who doesn't have somebody paying him $39 million this year, is not going to play for $1.2 million. So that factors into the equation a little bit. But I'd rather have Tannehill than the two bums they have. But, I mean, most of these jobs are locked up, including the backup jobs. So, I don't know where Tannehill's planning to go. Maybe he tries to pull a Joe Flacco where he just sits out until some team inevitably needs him. But I don't know where he's going. And I got to tell you this. As far as Tomlin's concerned, I know the Steelers are a different organization when it comes to hiring and firing coaches. But it felt like after last year, it felt like he was on thin ice. I don't know if I was on thin ice if I'd put my chips in the middle with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, two quarterbacks that aren't very good but are great TV players, knowing that it's almost certain that when my first bad quarterback plays poorly, TV is going to instigate a quarterback controversy that will then force me to play the second bad quarterback who will also stink. But Tomlin's found a way to win 8, 9, 10 games a year with bad quarterbacks, so I can't put it on him. 615-737-1025. That's our phone number, 615-737-1025. How about them Predators? Because, again, two games on the road trip, two victories for the Predators. They are red hot. They have a 90-something chance. I think if they win tomorrow against terrible San Jose, it's like a 97% chance of making the playoffs. What this whole Predators run has taught us, we'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Speaking of the Predators, be sure to participate tomorrow or at least know that tomorrow is your chance to participate in Pred's Pick to Click. That's right, Pred's Pick to Click, presented by TJ Anderson Homes at Benchmark Realty. If you correctly guess a Pred's player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Pred's home game. Participate with Robbie and Retro tomorrow morning at 8:45. Pick to Click is brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes at Benchmark Realty. List your home with TJ to get it seen, heard, and sold.